Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be here. I tell you what, I've been blessed already. It's good to be in a good Bible-believing church. They're falling like flies. My own home church, been there 20-some years, and just pray for my home church. We used to have around 300. This past Sunday morning, probably had 45, 50. Pastor that I came under had Parkinson's, and he left the church. Another pastor came in. He just recently resigned. And just been with a pastor friend in his church when I first got to know him and preached there, presented my work. Church house was full. And was there on a Wednesday night. It was myself, my wife, and his wife, himself, his daughter and son-in-law, and another brother. Great falling away. And a lot of times people just don't want to hear the truth, sad to say. But thank God. We got a chance to come together and listen to some old-fashioned singing that exalts us and edifies us and hear some good preaching from the Bible. And I think what happens is that sometimes the church house starts straying. And you know what? God will always bless the truth. Never will He not bless the truth. And so I thank the Lord being in a good church and just thank your pastor. I always call him a couple weeks ahead of time. And Pastor Sex has always been kind and let me come when I have a little time down his way. I want to tell you a little bit about the work update. You get the prayer letter. But I thank the Lord for what He's done. First, for how He's blessed me. Be 3 years ago, August 1st, they diagnosed me with cancer. And praise the Lord, I've gone strong. Cancer free. I only have to see a doctor every 6 months. I start every 3 months. And the Lord's been good to me. And just recently, we've been down here. I took a 6-mile hike and a 5-mile hike and didn't even breathe hard. And so thank the Lord. I tell you what, the doctors think they know what all is going on, but they only know what they think's going on. That's why they say they practice medicine. But I thank the Lord. He knows what's going on because He created us. And they had me on some medication, and I read about it. And long term, you know, it could have some bad problems. I took it for 8-9 months. It wasn't taken for 3 years. Lord, let me find some information about a natural substance, clinically tested, has great research to it, that gives the same benefit without any side effects and blesses the body. Guess what I did? Quit taking the medicine and start taking that. And Lord's blessed. And then He's given me all these scans just for routine. And Lord just gave me peace, just stopped that lot of radiation. And I'll tell you what, God has blessed me. And my doctor is pleased and blessed. And he said, I'm doing well. And he stands amazed. Well, I serve an amazing God, don't you? Oh, Lord, it's just good to be an old-fashioned Christian. It's good to be used by the Lord. Just to witness. Just take another breath to serve the Lord. And let's not take our health for granted and our church house for granted, our pastors for granted. I'll tell you what, better hold on to it. Look out there. It ain't going well in this country, but it's going well in the church if we're serving Him. So thank God for that. They can say all they want during the presidential election and go here, go there. I think I go to my King James Bible. Amen. And find out the truth. Let them throw the slop here or there. I'm going to get the truth and get strength every day and talk to my Savior. And so I thank God for it. Real quick with the update, Lord's been blessing. And April 13th, which is just a short distance away, 2 weeks, something like that, I'll be starting the Bible study at the U.S. Capitol. We've gotten a room there now for 13 years. And Lord's certainly been blessing. That Bible study, God opened the door. There's no other way to see it. Back 13 years ago, under the first United States House Speaker, Denny Hastert from Illinois. Then Tom DeLay became Speaker of the House, and he gave me a room. Nancy Pelosi, unfortunately, was there. But she took my big room, gave me the small room, but we kept preaching, and God kept blessing. And then John Bader came back and was U.S. House Speaker from Ohio. He gave my big room back, praise the Lord. And then Paul Ryan. And it was little, kind of a little tug and go with him. He, I guess, wasn't sure what was going on, but after getting educated of what that Bible study has been there for all these years, and the Lord certainly has blessed it, he said, go ahead and do it, and gave us a room. And matter of fact, we've got one of the nicest rooms in the U.S. Capitol, the House Ways and Means Committee Room. And that's probably one of the most powerful committees in the United States Congress. You know why? Because God ordained it. You come right off the street, go on the side of at the Capitol, and within about 10 seconds, you're there. So, thank the Lord. I started out in the basement, and I'm middle ways. Maybe I'll go to the top. But you know what? I said that jokingly. You know, God's not going to be left without a witness. And for sure, God's always faithful. And unfaithfulness is not God, it's us. You know, as long as we're faithful, it doesn't matter a PhD or what other kind of degree. That has nothing to do with it. It has something to do with us and our faith in God. Just do what he said, when he said it, how he said it, and that's it. And guess what? He gets the glory, and we get to have fun serving him, having the peace and joy. We all go through trials and temptations and times that we'd prefer not to go there. But I can say this, would I want to go through what I went through again? No, but I can say this, I had the peace of God. God blessed me. I didn't lose my hair. Hallelujah. And I ate, never lost my appetite, Pastor. I even woke my wife up in the middle of the night, wanting food. That's not traditionally what happens with chemo. It just doesn't happen. Walked every day for miles. I was out that campground with my RV. I walked so much across that property, they got a warpath. And went down there and prayed and had a good time. But you know why? When we stay close to the Lord, those times will come, but he'll be with us. And what he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he's just not saying that. He means it. He means it. He's not way off there. He's right here. Praise the Lord. I tell you, that's shouting ground and kicking up the leg ground, isn't it, brother? Yes, sir. Enjoying our salvation. God doesn't want to sit down and worry and fret and all that. He's got it under control. Obama's in the White House, not because God wanted him, because people wanted him. They got their way. And look what's happened. So, but I thank the Lord. And then the Justice Department going to its 12th year. And so I thank the Lord for that. Some of those same people that started 12 years ago still come to that Bible study and inviting people. And thank the Lord, all these Bible studies. And I've told you before, but it bears mentioning again. We always started with the truth. Always took a stack of King James Bibles, gave everybody a King James Bible, and said, this is what we're using. They come in with something else. I always ask them what they got. If it's not the King James Bible, I give them one. This is what we use. You know why? You can't do anything without the truth. Amen. And if we're going to end right, you've got to start right. And you don't start wrong to get a crowd. You start right to let God work. That's the formula. Let God do what he's going to do. Let's just be obedient. And then I've been working at state capitals and opening up Bible studies, as you see in a prayer letter, and get independent Baptist pastors, Pastor Sexton, to take those under the umbrella of the local church, and I'll work with them as a ministry, as a prison ministry. What a ministry to our House and Senate members at the state level and the staff. They need to know the Lord, but more importantly, we need to have a voice there, but that voice needs to be through preaching, through witnessing. And all at the same time, they can listen to what's going on and have a presence there for the Lord Jesus Christ. Been having God, family, and country meetings, and the Lord's been blessing those. Get independent Baptist pastors together that never would come together at any other time and just get together and preach the Word. Have special music, congregational singing. We did this throughout America, different capitals, and May 12th, we'll be having a God, family, and country meeting at the Louisiana State Capitol. And already through confirmation, we got quite a few people coming. We expect several hundred. And some of the churches are bringing their schools. One church is bringing all their high school, about 100 students plus adults. So we want to get out there and exalt the name of Jesus Christ. They hear all this other stuff. You know, Muhammad is a false teacher, whatever he was, he's in hell. Amen. And the Hindu gods, whoever they are, Buddha, he's in a tomb, he's dead, his bones may be there, they may not. But we serve a risen Savior. And we need to go out, proclaim him, and not be intimidated by the wickedness of this world. It doesn't matter what political correctness say, who really cares? They're sending people to hell. Catholicism, all the falseness in religion. We got the truth. Why not get out and tell the truth? And that's what we've been doing. That's what we're going to do. We're going to have these young people get together and just sing praises to the Lord. The session will still be going on at the Louisiana State Capitol. And if it be the Lord's will, I'd like to start a Bible study there. And I did some survey work, witnessing on a couple occasions. So just pray that. We want to make a difference. It's not for our glory, it's for His glory, but it's for soul's sake. And I certainly believe if we don't do that, then we leave a very valuable place that we should be in and witnessing. But I thank you and the church for your kindness over the years, prayer support and financial support, and thank you for that. And it does help, and I thank the Lord for it. And with that said, I want to preach a message here tonight. And if you'll turn to Psalms 9. Psalms 9. And beginning with verse 17. And then we'll go on from there. And be praying. There's a young man that I've been training in the ministry. And he's got almost 83% of his support. He'll be helping me full time, and that'll help. And so be praying for him. And so thank the Lord for that. And if it be the Lord's will, maybe get another man that's called, another man, whatever the Lord's will be. The more we get, the more we can do. And so we thank the Lord for that. Main thing is, none of us personally or as a church or in my midst, we can't lose a vision. Because if we do, we start slowing down. And we start backing up, don't we? I'm that way. I'll start treading water. But as long as I start keep pushing for the Lord and keep asking the Lord to help and give me opportunities, that's what we need to do. If we do that, hey, we keep going forward, not backward. And so I thank the Lord for that, and please be praying about that. Psalms chapter 9, verse 17 says this, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." Boy, it's sad to say and look at America today. I remember growing up in a coal mining community. I was in the Boy Scouts, and, you know, and as I looked at America at that time, it sure didn't look like America today. And our nation definitely is, as a whole, on its way to hell. And I believe, honestly, and it does bother me to say this, but it's the truth. Our nation has become a reprobate nation. I believe it's crossed the line. You said, why would you say that, Brother Frank? Well, how can we murder over 65 million unborn babies in their mother's womb? Since 1973, what is that? That's over 10 times what they said Hitler killed. And they act like it's nothing. And they want to kill more. Then how can we legalize what they term again, same-sex marriage, and still claim they're saying from our hearts, God bless America? Well, I couldn't do that. Because God ain't blessing America. If anything, He's judging this nation for its sin. And it's heartbreaking. And you say, well, what can we do? Just keep on serving the Lord. Keep preaching. Keep witnessing. Don't worry about what they say, but worry what He has already said. And keep with it. Don't slow up, slow down, or get politically correct. And I've been in some churches. You can see a little tint of political correctness from the pulpit sometimes. And you know what I'm talking about, Pastor. I mean, they're calling sodomites gay. Well, man, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that'd been unheard of. What I am saying, these are things that are creeping in and kind of make sin not look like sin. And that's not going to change the picture with the Lord. And we still got to be adamant. It doesn't matter if they think we are mean. They're going to say we're mean anyway. If we say Jesus is the only way, as I say on Capitol Hill, some people hate to see me. There's others appreciate me. But that same in this community. But that's not what we should even consider unless we're being ugly intentionally. All we need to consider that we're doing what God wants us to do. God will take care of the rest. That's the only way I got saved, the only way you got. That's the only way this nation will ever turn back to God, old-fashioned preaching as you have here. And you've been blessed. You've been blessed more than you think you've been blessed. Go out there and go to some of the churches. Not only at the pulpit, but out there, more as the day approaches. The old adage is, if you don't use it, you lose it. I'm talking about liberty. And if we're not out there using it, they will try to take it. And as one old preacher said, it's not so much what the world's taken from us, but it's what we've given up. And we've given up way too much. Way, way, way too much. And in some respects, sometimes unconsciously, because of the noise of the world and the messages of the world, we kind of change everything, how we do things. But we need to declare, when the Word of God is what? Cry aloud and spare not. God meant it. Because only through old-fashioned preaching, declaring the truth uncompromisingly, we will see souls saved. Hey, there's, as this church can have revival if nobody else is having revival. It's not contingent upon everybody else. It's contingent upon us. And each one of us, as we come to the house of God, if we're not going to ask God for a state of revival in our hearts, we can hinder revival in the church house. The night, I want to preach a message. What's wrong with America? Short question. And the Lord gave me three little things. Now, there's a multitude of things we could point to. But the Lord gave me three little things. What's wrong with America? Number one, masculine women. Masculine women. Have you ever heard of Hillary Clinton? Of course you have. Nancy Pelosi? You sure have. And what about Carly Fiorina? Doesn't matter the party. These women declare that they're just strong women and some men don't like strong women. But what they're really saying is that they're masculine is the problem. The reason we're having dire consequences in this country because women are out of their place. God never ordained them to do the things they're doing. So, to make up for the difference between them and men, they got to act the part of a man. And now we're in trouble because God didn't make them a man. I myself and you as a man, I don't like a strong woman. I wanted someone's feminine and in her place. You said that's pointed. Well, God's pointed. God has given a place for man. He's given a place for the woman. He's given a place for the children. It doesn't matter what they say. Women are out of their place. And the whole society is in chaos. When you look at the women today, they don't want to stay home, take care of their children. They want to pawn them off to the government schools, daycare centers. As soon as they have them, they take them and dump them. Their profession is more important than the child that God gave them. They care more about their celebrity and their climbing the ladder while their children are suffering emotionally without them. We sold our heritage in this nation, I'm talking about as a country, for a mess of pottage. Wicked! And then they go around bragging about who they are, what they can do. The best thing Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, and Carly Farini is to go home, put on an apron, be a mother and a grandmother. Now, they would scream and holler. I didn't vote for Trump. I voted for Cruz. And I'm not being political, but I'm telling you. They're getting on Trump because he says he don't like strong women. But the point of the matter is, a man wants a lady. And we want them to raise children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you look at the world. As I said, it's completely out of kilter. Nobody cares for the children. We got masses of children that have run away from home. Although they got everything in the home, they got nothing in the home. They got all the material things, but they have no mom and dad. So they take off. And they're sleeping under the bridges in San Francisco, in the alleyways in New York, down in Washington, D.C., all over the place. And these wicked men get a hold of these young ladies, prostitute them out, drug them up. You know why? Because mom don't want to be mom. And then they come home and scream and cry about what's happened. Well, what's happened is you threw them to the dog. And the dogs took them. You look at the church house. We're in a mess as a whole. The world's come in to the church house to a certain extent and is telling our mamas what they need to do. Not to obey the Bible, but to get out and do their thing. Go the same way as the world. When God says, that's sin, that's wrong, that's rebellion. You look at the radical feminists in this country. They want to take away the difference between the man and the woman. Many years ago, the unisex movement started, and they want to take, even down to the bathrooms, just one bathroom for men and women. You know why? Because they want to obliterate the difference. They know the difference. They want to take it away. And boy, they're doing the job now. And we got to come back to the church house and moms and wives and say this. No way am I going to follow the world. I'm going to stay with my family. I'm going to bless my husband. I'm going to take care of my children. That's the only thing we got, brother and sister. It doesn't matter about the silver and gold. You know what I'm talking about. Money in the bank, possessions. I'll tell you what. We can have all that like Donald Trump, but be miserable as anything. Lose a family. Have no heritage to go on for Jesus Christ. What good is it in the bank? You know what? We just need to be mom and dad. Take care of our children. Take care of our families. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And begin with verses 9 through 15. 9 through 15. It says here, in like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly what ray. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Boy, I tell you, look at that word, Pastor, shamefacedness. There is no inkling of that in our country, our society. None. Women in this world dress like harlots. They teach their young girls dressed like harlots. It's wicked. And we come to the church house. Thank God we still got some good Bible-believing churches that stand. We still got some mamas and wives that love the Lord, that want to please God. But we also got some moms and wives in our independent Baptist churches that do not practice shamefacedness. We got some young ladies, sad to say, in some independent Baptist churches that dress like harlots. It's wicked. And guess what? Nobody from the pulpit says nothing. And then we wonder why we don't have revival. We don't see young men called to preach. And we don't see the young ladies keeping their virginity. It's because we backed up and let these things go on. God's not winking at it. He's not winking at my sin or your sin. He's very serious about this stuff. One thing He's more serious about, I believe, than anything else in this world, when we come to know His Son and Savior, is purity. Purity. Holiness. You said that's sinless. No, that's not sinless, but it's no license to sin. God wants us to be pure. I heard a preacher say this, and I thought about this as powerful. He said there's power in purity. And there is. When we know we're all right with the Lord and we know from the heart we're keeping ourselves separated from this world and the things in the world that God, through the Holy Spirit, tells us we can have power with God and man. And we can sleep with the peace of a baby. But too many times in our churches, it's been defiled. And it's being let go on. I know of a man, know him well, he left the church because there's some were dressing like harlots and he and his wife couldn't take it no more. Went to the pastor and he gave him the scripture about modest apparel. And the pastor said this, independent Baptist pastor, said this. Well, how do you define modest? What he was doing, he was running away from. You can't run away from those who are taking off their clothes. You got to stand against it. And let God do the work. If we don't preach, and I'm not talking about being ugly, but it's getting ugly on the other side. And it's allowed to be settled in the pew without any opposition or any young mother or another lady who's been saved for a while going to that particular person and talking to him in private. Something needs to be done. Look at 1 Timothy, here, chapter 5, and verse 14. 1 Timothy, chapter 5, verse 14 says this, I will therefore that the younger women marry, watch this, bear children, guide the house, give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Boy, I tell you what, go out there and say this out on the street, and they'll probably come from you every direction and want to kill you. Likewise, in the church, you're going to get some mean looks. And these young ladies that are being reared in some of the Christian families, so supposedly, they don't want to bear children. They don't want to have the family. They want also to get a career. They want to go to college and make the... I'll tell you what, that's where we're getting in trouble. We need to come back to what the Word of God says. God knows best. He says, I will therefore that young women, what? Marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to speak, adversary to speak reproachfully. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 14. And verses 33 through 35. 1 Corinthians 14, 33 through 35 says, For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Well, that's powerful. But you know what? God knows the makeup of a woman, the makeup of a man. And He has put the woman in subjection to the man. And some of the most problems in a church comes from ladies talking too much. Gossiping. I'll tell you, there's been some good preachers running out of the ministry of lies. Churches hurt, split. You know what we need to get back practicing? What the Bible says. It's better to keep quiet than to talk. And if you don't know what you're talking about, it's better to keep quiet double. And let the Lord move. But God's not making a mistake. Man makes the mistake. Look at Ephesians 5. 22 through 24. Ephesians 5. 22 through 24. It says here, Wives, submit yourselves and your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, let their wives be their own husbands. What? In everything. Now look at Titus chapter 2. And look at verses 3 through 5. The aged women likewise, they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not what? Blasphemed. That's strong. There's no doubt, if we come back to the principles laid down here, the divorce rate would go down sharply. Not only out there, but in the church house. If we get back to the order God said and doing what God said in the places He's given us, it would go right. And the church house would experience revival. Now, to point number two. What's wrong with America? Number two, effeminate men. We got too many men who look like a man, but they aren't a man. You look at society. I mean, just weak men. They're letting their wives dominate them. I'm saying it in respect to what the Word of God says. They are trading places with their wife. They're staying home and mama's going to work where she can be enticed by some man on a job, which happens so many times, you can't count. And there's a reverse of the order because the devil, the prince of the power of the air, the number one target is the family. Reversing it. And it's sad. And I say this seriously, to see those who call themselves men that act sissy. It does. It's sickening. Man, we grew up, my dad got us out there and we worked. We didn't sit around the table. We was out there in the morning doing something. And then, you know what? He taught us a few things. How to act like a man. How to be a man. And that doesn't mean that we don't love our wives. That doesn't mean that we don't love our children and we don't treat our wives as we ought to, as Christ honors the church. I'm not saying that. But we're in an age now. That's why we got, I guess, this transgender or whatever that junk is. They don't know whether a man or a woman. You know why? Because that's what's going on in a home. Dad's not acting like a man, and mom's not acting like a woman. The mom's like a man, and dad's like a woman. Confusion. And sad to say, we got to be careful in the church house. We need to raise our young men like men. And let them be a boy. And sometimes in Bible colleges, we got to watch how we groom them. They got to be groomed to be preachers, not speakers. There's a difference, is there not? They got to be called preachers. Because I'll tell you what, there is a lot of things that go on. Might be persecution from in and without the church. Hey, it's a battle. We're soldiers of the cross. We got to be men. And we got to be men in our homes. We got to be the spiritual leaders. Too many times, dad let mom do the devotions and take care of the spiritual part. And he thinks that's unmanly. Well, that's not unmanly. That's manly. And we got to get back to being a spiritual leader by bringing our families to church and letting them see that we are that leader. That makes Johnny and that family look up to dad and copy him in the way he is. You ever see this sign say, how's it go? Real men love Jesus? Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? And as fathers, we need to take our young people out and knock on doors. We need to teach them how to witness. You know what? That teaches those young men how to be men. Teach them how to pray. That's teaching them how to be a man of God. Show them how to read the Bible, to get along with the Lord, to get food for their souls. I dare say many young people in our churches don't crack the Bible all week. Probably don't even know how to get down and pray. And then we bring them three times a week. They hear the preacher man. And then all at once they go off. Johnny gets drunk, gets thrown in jail. And we say, why? I took him church three times, but didn't follow up. Didn't teach him to be a man of God. Didn't teach him how to pray. Didn't teach him how to read the Bible. Didn't teach him how to go out and tell a soul about Jesus Christ. Forget about the football players. Forget about all the junk in the world. It doesn't matter. This life is short. I'll tell you what's going to matter when you and I face the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to matter a great deal at the judgment seat of Christ. If he comes back, glory, hallelujah, I want to have a good testimony. If I go through death before he comes back, I'm going to be in presence, Lord. I want to be blessed. But if we don't train this generation as men of God, they will not get trained to serve the Lord. They're going to be the leaders of this church and other Bible-believing churches. And that's why I stress in his God, family, and country means, bring those young people out. You got a Christian school. You got homeschoolers. Bring them out. Take a day. What you call one of those days? You know, when you take the student somewhere. Field day. I tell them, I say, take a field day for those kids. Bring them to the state capitol. Let them see the capitol. And let them serve Jesus Christ right there. Let them serve them in public. The Word of God says we're not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we don't train them now, I can guarantee you they're going to have severe problems serving the Lord when they get older. and it's going to be worse than this generation. Men, we got a great responsibility and a privilege. But they need to see us as men of God, not cowed down by this wicked world, not intimidated by the devil and the world and even our own flesh. We're not an island to ourselves. When we fall, a lot of people fall. When we stop serving, a lot of people are affected. I tell you what, sometimes we just got to push ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ and ask Him to help us. We've got such a great responsibility. What a privilege, the young people here. But you know what? They need to know how to serve the Lord. They ought not to be afraid to go out and tell someone about Jesus Christ or give a gospel tract to someone. And it's a blessing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And verse 13, chapter 16, verse 13. Short verse, but very powerful. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. I like that phrase where it says, stand fast in the faith. You know, men, if we stand fast in the faith, we will be strong. Because our strength doesn't come from this old, weak, fleshly body. It comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we stand fast in the faith, and we see the young people, and they're picking up on that, and they're getting blessed by that, that makes me stronger. And that'll make you stronger. That gives me more confidence to keep plowing the ground. Why are we here, men? Live it up, have a good time, float through by being a Christian? I think not. It's a short time, is it not? God could let me come home to glory, but He chose to heal me. And there ain't no time to sit around and play around, but we got a lot of work to do. And our testimony before our young people is like gold. And we need to spend it that way. And we need to be that testimony. You say, well, I don't have any children. But there's children in this church, men. Your children are gone. You could be an example to these children right here. We need to count it as a blessed thing. Look at 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not, watch this, not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Notice it did not say not her own or not her house, but it said for his own and of his own house. God is right down the line with all the scriptures. He's talking about us, men. We need to provide for our families. Take care of our families. Make our mothers available to our children. Many times mom goes to work to get extra things. It's better to have one car and a home and have the family together than lose it all and have nothing. And it's happened so many times, it's shameful. Now, there might be some extenuating circumstances that a mother has to do something. But I dare say, it could be cut down to a nil percentage. Too much materialism is the problem. Got to have this and this and that and this. When in essence, for serving the Lord, God has promised to provide for our needs. And we just got to take Him at His word and take care of the most precious thing we have, men. It's our families. The last point, very quickly. What's wrong with America? Number three. False religion. False religion. I thank God. I'm saved by the grace of God, and I have Him dwell in my heart. I know that when I accepted Christ at age 15, I know that today. I know that when I sin. I know that when He's chastised me. And glory to God, I've learned. And I pray that I will not get out of the way and get chastised again. because that hurts. But I'm going to tell you right now, we got the truth, but we ought to expose a false religion in this country, this world. Some would say, don't bother it. Leave them alone. Just preach the gospel. I agree with that, preaching the gospel, but also believe we need to expose the false religion. My father was hot and heavy on in the Old Testament. Tearing down the idols. Stay away from the heathen. Don't worship their idols. Don't tell me he is against it today. It's ruined our country. One of the false religions that are on the uprise more than any other false religion in this country with the speed is Islam. It's wicked. It's from hell itself. And from the White House out to the Congress, they have downplayed this wicked religion. They say it's a religion of peace. Why are they cutting off all the heads of the Christians and killing all these children if it's a religion of peace? Oh, it's been hijacked. Well, I beg your pardon. The same Muslims in the Middle East that read that Quran about murder and jihad is the same Quran that these Muslims in this country read and obey. Once those numbers get up, you'll see more bombings and suicides and killings and mass murders in this country. We better take a stand against Islam. You look at what some of them are saying, I really believe that we need to secure our borders, but by like manner, when we see this on the horizon, we need to take action. We need to stop the Muslims from coming here. They're not coming here in peace. They're coming here to do war. They're coming here to kill your children, my children, your grandchildren, my grandchildren. Matter of fact, they want to come in our churches and blow them up. Why would we let them come free hand and act like we're in a daze that this ain't happening? Where's everybody at? Look at all that's happened now. And they keep trying to say workplace violence. Well, the problem is false religion. And some of that false religion of Islam, there's people sitting in U.S. Congress, I know two of them. There are Muslims. And I know one in the White House, I believe, is a Muslim. We need to declare it, stand by it, and preach against it. Same as we preach against Catholicism. Do we not? Absolutely. It's false. It's wicked. Sending people to hell. But our nation has become politically correct. A few years back, I'll tell you what happened in the U.S. Senate. Senate Majority Leader, when he was Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, he got a Hindu priest from Nevada, brought him, and to do a whatever prayer they do or chant in the Senate chamber in the U.S. Capitol. There were some Christians up in the gallery that heard about it. When a Hindu priest hit the platform, they voiced opposition. And immediately the U.S. Capitol police ushered them out. But I dare say if someone was saying anything against the independent Baptist preacher that was up there, telling the truth, they could have screamed and hollered, rant, and raved. Nobody said nothing. You know why? Because it's the truth. And they want to please false religion. We need to stand against it. God's judgment is on America because of this. And I'm going to end with this. These two verses and this last example. In America tonight, we have schools throughout America, from California, Dearborn, Michigan, has turned into a Iran with the Muslims. And down to South Carolina, my home state, down in Columbia, in high schools around this nation, these liberal, God-hating teachers are teaching the children the five pillars of Islam. They are even getting prayer rugs and getting them on the prayer rug and teaching them Muslim prayers. You say, how did they get away with it? Simply this, they say they're teaching them as part of history. Now watch this. You get a young person who has a t-shirt on about Jesus, carrying these Bibles, King James Bible, going to witness someone, give out a tract, they'll bring them to the principal's office, warn them if they do it again, or maybe that time they'll send them home with a note, and if they do it again, they'll expel them. That's where we're at in America. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We got the victory. We are on the winning side. You know what we ought to do? Act like winners. You know what we ought to do? Preach and witness the gospel that saves souls. Not sit down. Some of these false religions just run over our independent Baptists from witnessing. They spread their garbage everywhere. I mean, they're very strong about it, are they not? And you know what? We have the truth, and we ought to outdo them 1,000%. Because we know the truth. Sad fact is, there's only about 5% of churches, people in the churches that do the whole work of the ministry. Where's the rest? What are they doing? I'll tell you what they're doing. Treading water. Nobody knows the day or hour the Lord's going to come back or the day our life is gone. But we know we got today. And we ought to be busy for the Lord. Look at Exodus 23:5, and I'm finished. Very, very short. Exodus 20. Verses 3 through 5 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. And I'm going to stop right there. We know what's wrong with America. Our women are out of place. Our dads are out of place. And we are promoting false religion. What about us, brother and sister? What are we doing to make a great difference in this land? Are you as a mom in the place God have you be? And as a dad, are we in the place that we need to be? Standing for what the Bible says. Being an example to our young people. And not letting down. Not compromising. Not being politically correct. Let's have prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. And thank you, Lord, for Pastor Sexton and the church. And Lord, for the liberty to preach and for the good time they give me. And I pray, God, if there's someone, may not even be on what was preached, that need to come to talk to you, may they do so. And we just want to thank you, Lord. And if there's some young people that need to come and talk to you about their service for you, may they do the liberty that they need to do through your Spirit and come pray. And may we as moms and dads, if there's something in our lives that we need to put down and let you take control of and repent of so that we can be a better mom and dad, help us to do that in Christ's name.